Today is the birthday of our eldest daughter, Kirsten. She is 39 years old today. You might remember her from years past. Now she is the one who is living outside of Albany, New York. Kirsten, interestingly enough, was born on our 9-month wedding anniversary. That's kind of just the way things happened. And by happening in that manner, it kind of changed our schedule. The first thing it did is that we were in Washington at the time, postponed going to seminary from starting in September, pushing it back till January. And so we moved out there when she was just a few months old. Even more so, she changed the dynamic of our marriage relationship. Because now there is a new factor involved, not just two, but a third person. And so, kind of out went the old plans, if there were any. And we then kind of looked at the new opportunities that were presented to us. With that in mind, we decided, well, we'll have our children early in our marriage then. No reason to put it off. So then we really had no problems when our youngest left the house and we became empty nesters for the very first time. But the parable, I believe, that Jesus speaks about today is about that which is new. And it begins by introducing the manager, the steward, the one who is to take care of all concerns, to take care of accounts. He is an appointed agent to supervise and actively directs the affairs of the rich man. And then he is facing charges of squandering the property of the master. When he is confronted, he summons the debtors and tells them to pay less than what is owed. They are debited less than what the records show. And as a result of this, the master commends the dishonest manager. And so we have a parable that's really, you can't find, it's not a parable of moral teachings. You can't really put labels on all the characters. For what are we to make of the characters in this parable? Are any of them really commendable when you look at it? What does it mean that the manager, the steward, is shrewd? And so we begin by looking at the setting in which Jesus is talking to his disciples, where he has had many encounters with the religious leaders, the Pharisees and the chief priests and the scribes. And Jesus condemns their efforts of leadership. How the religious leaders continue to impose more regulations, add tighter and tighter laws upon the people. As a result, there is an exclusion of all of those people of Israel that were meant to be reached out to. So instead of reaching out, seeking out people, it began to limit the people who were seen as acceptable. Limit those who were to be included. Recently, when we back to the East Coast, to New York and New Jersey, and now our youngest one is living in Jersey City, New Jersey, one of the interesting things that we found out where McKinsey lives is just kind of two doors down is a Lutheran church, an ELCA church, Trinity Lutheran Church. And so as soon as she moved into this neighborhood, Allison looked up online and found out a little bit about it, kind of encouraging her to go there, and found out that they have Sunday worship services at 11 o'clock. And so then as we went to visit, we got McKinsey moved in on Saturday and then had plans then to go to church on Sunday. Got Allison and I and Jordan, who was there with us, out the door and got to the church at 5 to 11. and they were taking the offering. Now, that's interesting, that maybe you take the offering before the service starts. And so we had just kind of walked up and sat down, probably there in the middle pews, and you know, there are about 30 people. It's a small congregation. And then they go into some prayers, and then they go into communion. And I thought, well, this is strange. So I kind of snuck out back and went to the entryway and picked up a bulletin and began looking through it. And trying to find out where they were. They were doing some things that I really wasn't familiar with. And so looked at the front and it said 10 a.m. So he just walked in an hour late, that's all. But it was very nice that the people of the congregation, though, as we went through the rest of the service and had communion and sang the final hymn, that one of the members got up to make announcements at the end of the service. I don't know if they normally do this or not. But they had just begun on that first Sunday in September having a new intern. The old one had left, and now a new one had come. And with that, they changed the worship service from 11 to 10. And they admitted they hadn't changed it on the sign outside. They hadn't changed it on their website yet. And so they understood and welcomed us understandingly and accepted us, even though we had come in an hour late, unknowing the situation. And so it is now that Jesus is talking about how we are to be welcoming. For the religious leaders were seen as the stewards and the managers. They were given the opportunity to share with the world the nature and the character of God. They were entrusted with a valuable message. They were to be a steward of this message, actively directing and supervising this message, sharing it with all the people around them, from Israel and beyond. And they squandered the opportunity. So Jesus talks about then how they are to forget the laws, the rules, the regulations, and the traditions. Because when people look at failure to meet all the demands that are placed upon them, they just feel that they are more and more and more and more and more in debt. And you do not win people over with the burden of the law. You don't win people over with threats of when the law is not fulfilled. You do not overwhelm people with debt or what they are owed, but rather to forgive that debt. That is the power of forgiveness. That's what gives us relief. That's what gives us hope. The fall equinox is upon us. Have you read about that? Equinox comes from the Latin. It means equal night. So equal night and equal day. And so the official start is actually just after midnight tonight. It's actually tomorrow, September 23rd, 12:50 a.m. And at that time, the position of the sun and the position of the earth here would give us 12 hours and 47 seconds of light. That's as close as we get to equal. Actually, on the 26th of September, there will be 12 hours and 37 seconds of light. That's the closest we will get to an exact division of light and dark. It's all based upon the tilt of the earth, and when the equator then is centered on the sun. One of the interesting things that I discovered was that at sunset and at sunrise, the sun is actually below the horizon when you first see it. Because the first thing in the morning and the last thing at night, because the light is bent. And so you can see the sun even before it comes over the horizon. Or you can see the sun after it dips below the horizon. The reason I mention, though, this, because I know it fascinates you so much, is that time of transition, isn't it? The time of transition. We go into autumn, we'll have more night than we will have light. And it's a relief. It's kind of a relief of the summer that we have been going through. 95 degree temperatures, I always say, are a lot more pleasant in September than they are in April. But we do have to remember, though, that the latest 100 degree temperature recorded in Phoenix is October 27th. But I want to emphasize that feeling of relief. And what it means to us. That we as a people rejoice. We're kind of grateful for that. And so the people of God rejoice as well. Grateful for the relief of which Jesus speaks. It is a message that will bring people together, not drive them away. Where all people experience the lifting of that burden of debt, that burden of sin, and feel that wonder of grace. And with it then, it frees us then to build up relationships with one another, to build up community. We are entrusted with these true riches. We are stewards of this gift of grace. We are responsible of this great wealth and to share it with all the world. Amen.